We're very thankful this morning to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. God has been good to us, and certainly he's blessed us again to be able to assemble. To those who may be here, not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you are very honored guests and the VIP of our audience. What you're experiencing is New Testament pattern of worship, what we're singing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. And we pray, amen, men will lead the services. You have no guitars and drums. Everyone sings. Amen. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We give. Amen. And so those are acts of worship that we find in the New Testament. That's the way the disciples all worship. After Jesus died, the apostles then in the church and the Bible. This is the way they worshiped. And so that's what we're following, what's called the New Testament pattern of worship. Amen. Amen. And the acapella singing is beautiful, isn't it? Thank God. Thank God for the voices that are in the audience. If you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to know that we believe that the Bible is right in the churches of Christ. Don't we all? Amen. Yeah. Every word of the Bible is right. And to be saved, you must believe in the Bible first. If you believe in the Bible, then you'll believe that Jesus died on the cross. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
And when he died on the cross, he shed his blood. That blood we'll wash your sins away in baptism. That's why he commanded us to be baptized. We got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then when you're baptized and washed in the blood, then God adds you to the church that's in the Bible. The only church in the Bible is the Church of Christ. And that's all I want you ever hear me preach about. One God, one church, one Jesus. Yeah. Amen. One Holy Spirit, yeah. One baptism. That's water. And so that's it. And the Lord added to the Church of Christ in the Bible. And so to be saved, you must hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And that's the order of salvation, as we call it, the plan of salvation. And so that's the case. And now if you're a member of the church, you've fallen, then you have to repent and confess your faults. Amen. Then the Lord will then restore you to the faith. Amen. And many have fallen by the wayside. Yes, sir. Many have fallen. But God has given us a way back. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Is that right? Yes. Now last week I talked about the family of God, God the Father. And we just completed, the national holiday called Thanksgiving, which is, it's a notable, holiday that we all always be thankful, shouldn't we?
Amen.
We should always be thankful, but, we do that, once a year and we eat a lot of turkey. Amen. I don't know why the turkey get beat up so bad, but the turkey was good. Was it good? Amen. Yeah, yeah. So, I thought I'd bring a lesson again, following up on that family of the God the Father. If you didn't listen to that, I encourage you to go back and listen to that lesson that I taught on God the Father, the family of God. And so today in Colossians chapter 1, I gave the wrong scripture reference. It's Colossians chapter 1. That's my fault. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 1. For a few minutes this morning, we give thanks to God the Father. Paul, in verse number 1, Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle.
An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God,
will of
Timotheus, our brother.
Yeah, now, Paul is telling who he is. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ and also Timothy. And so Paul and Timothy work together for the cause of Christ. Good always to see men who will work together for the cause of Christ. I see you back off the road, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Been out there preaching. It's good. And so that's what we want. We want men to preach the gospel, and that's a Paul-Timothy kind of relationship. That's what I've always strived to do in my ministry, to have that Paul-Timothy relationship. And as a result of that, we have many men who come through Holland Heights that are now preachers of the gospel. I remember Brother Ricky Sales, who said he walked into my class and said, in ministerial programs, I don't want to preach. And now he's been in Hempel preaching for 7 years. How many are like that? How many men like that who didn't know what the talents were, but because we at Holland Heights had a program, a ministerial program, many have developed and they're full-time ministers. And that's important for the young men in the audience to always have you a role model, find you a brother that's faithful to the Lord. Amen. Faithful to the cause of Christ. And so you may want to be an elder. You may want to be a deacon. You may want to be a preacher. But find someone to attach to and learn from them. You can't learn on your own. Learn from someone with some experience. Amen. And that's important for us to know. Now, that's what Paul had with Timothy. And then he says to the saints.
And faithful brethren in Christ.
There were saints at this congregation. They were faithful who?
Brethren in Christ.
Brethren and sistering.
Which Amen. Are at Colossae.
So, They were there, Colossae, which is the place where this congregation was located, Colossae. Now, when you say there's one church in the Bible, there is one church, but a different location, like Ephesus was a congregation. Corinth was a congregation. These are different locations, but the same church. So we understand that. And so, but notice what was at this congregation. Faithful who? Brethren and in Christ, which was at Colossae. Now, at Hollow Heights, we have faithful brethren and sisters. When you say brethren, that's both brothers and sisters in Christ. And then you'll know if you're faithful. You know if you're a faithful brother. Now, just coming to Bible class, church, worship service doesn't make you a faithful brother. You have to be faithful by serving the Lord. Amen. Not only we get baptized, but we'll serve. Find your place to serve. Serve. And as we are now coming back, trying to start the ministries back up, after the freeze, we want you to know that, hopefully you get involved and be more involved and faithful to serving your Lord who you gave your life to. Verse number 3.
We give thanks to God.
And the Father. See that? Now, this is where I get my title from right there. Most of the time, my titles are coming from the verse, the text I'm reading, preaching from. Here's where I get it. He said, now, Paul noticed this. He said, we give thanks to God who? And the Father of who?
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Remember, last week I talked about God, the Father's family was made up of an elder son, and all of us became adopted children into that family when we obeyed the gospel. When Jesus is coming back, he's coming back to get the family of God, and the family of God is made up of his children. That's what we talk about. Now go back and listen. That's an encouraging lesson. He says, since we have heard of
your
faith
in Christ Jesus and now, of the love which ye have to all the saints.
Notice this, brothers and sisters. We give thanks to God the Father. But in order to win this race, we must pray. We must be men and women of prayer. Y'all agree with that? Mm-hmm. We must be men and women of prayer. Brothers and sisters, we are saints, pray. Because prayer changes things. Now here's the thing about prayer. That's a spiritual blessing that goes to those who've been born again of the water and of the spirit. God does not hear a sinner's prayer, but those who are living right, the eyes of the Lord over who?
The righteous
and his ears are open unto their prayer. In order to win this race, we must have faith in Christ. You know, our faith coming by what?
Hearing
and hearing by
the word of God.
Our faith is our belief system. We believe in Jesus Christ because of this book called the Bible. We never saw Jesus on the cross. We believe in Jesus because, y'all believe in Jesus.
Amen.
You believe in it because of a book. You don't believe in it, just because you saw that with your own eye. It's a development of faith from the scripture itself. Now, he says, we give thanks, praying always, since we heard of your faith. So that's the faith and importance and be known that this congregation, we are men and women of faith. And when you love, he said, and the love which you have to all who?
All the saints.
What is this saying? We give thanks to God because there are people who in the church, you want to be known, you want to know if you love, amen? We must love one another. This is what we're trying to accomplish as a congregation among our brother, among our sister. Our faith must guide our decisions. We walk by faith and not by what?
Sight. Right.
We must speak where the Bible speak and be silent where the Bible is silent. We cannot add to it or take away from the scripture. Everything the Bible says, we must believe it. We walk according to the scriptures. Is that right, y'all? Our faith must guide our vision. Without vision, the people perish. That vision means revelation. This is the vision right here. God has already given us whatever thing that we need to get to heaven is in this revelation right here. This whole book is called Revelation. God has revealed to the world through the Bible the things we must have in order to prevent perishing. Without vision, the people will what? Perish. We don't want to perish. Our love for one another must keep us bonded. Our love for one another must keep us united. We should give thanks to God for each other. Amen. Amen. We should give thanks to God for who? For each other. We are to love each other. We are to love our Lord, our Savior, our King. We are to love our Father. We are to love each other as children in God's family. We have much love in this congregation. I believe that. I've been here 15 years. There's much love here. I know you love the Lord. I love the Lord. And not only that, we must love one another and give thanks to God the Father for God is love himself. That right here we talked about last. God is love. We are a family of love. Now that doesn't mean we're going to agree with everything because we love each other. Amen. There's going to be some time we don't. No family that I know has ever been through just a regular family. Our biological family, we all go through things. Amen. And so it is with God's family. You're going to always have some things that you got to deal with in family. Amen. But we have a father who will discipline his children. Yeah, God disciplines children. He chastised those he loved. And that's what we understand. Sometimes he has to do that. Verse 5, he said, For the hope
which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel.
Now, why do we give thanks to God the Father? You know, for the hope. What hope do we have? The hope that one day get to heaven. Get Revelation 21. The hope that one day make it to heaven. How many of y'all want to get to heaven? You know, I want to get to heaven. I want to see that place. I want to see that place, that street of gold, the walls of jasper, and God will be there. Why do we come to this place? Why do we deal with things that we don't have to deal with? We're here because we're trying to get to heaven. Is that right? That's right. The bottom line. The bottom line of trying to live right. And you know, it's hard to live right, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell the truth. Yes. It's hard. It's so much stuff, so much out there that can pull you away like a magnet from the Lord's church. And you got to be careful, the people you're around. You got to be careful, you know, like we did with the coronavirus. We had to social distance. Amen. With the some people you need to social distance from.
Amen.
There are some people that can infect you with sin. Mm-hmm. And so sin is much like the coronavirus. Amen. You got to put your face mask on around some people.
Mm.
Amen. Amen, somebody, you know. You better get your vaccinations because there's a bunch of sin-sick people in the world. Yeah, and so when you come into church, don't come in here expecting for everybody to be holier than thou. You got the church is a place filled with sin sick people. Yeah. Amen. You just got to be careful who you socialize with. Amen. If they're not living right, you need to social distance from them before they mess you up. Some cause you to fall. That's important for you to know. Cause we're just trying to get to heaven, and the only way we're gonna get to heaven, he said, for you heard before the word of truth. The word of truth is the scripture. We must do what the Bible say. Understand that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. Is that right?
Right.
How are we going to get to heaven? Follow the scripture. All scripture is given by what?
The inspiration
of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. So the Bible corrects us, it instructs us, it gives us everything we need in order to make heaven our home. Amen.
Amen.
And so the word of God will do its job. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the mind and the soul, the spirit, the joints and marrow, and a discerner, notice of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I'm preaching the word of God, you may be thinking I'm talking about you. That's because your conscience is working.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Brooks, he preaching at me. Well, you must need it then. Because it's bothering your conscience that I said what I said. Not preaching. That's the word of God working on your mind. And you know you're guilty of whatever I'm saying. And you know you're the one. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Kind of like that parrot. Y'all heard that story, that parrot. A woman would go to that store and buying at that store. An old parrot always, you sure is ugly. He told that woman, you sure. Every time she come in there, sure is ugly. That woman told that store owner, he said, I'm not coming back in here no more unless you get rid of that parrot. That parrot, he's in the doc, and the store owner talked to the parrot after she left. So you got to stop calling that woman ugly. You're going to run my customers away. And so sure enough, she came back. The parrot, when she walked in the door, the parrot looked at her and the parrot looked at her. She went across there shopping and the parrot kept his eye on her. She looked at him. He looked at her and kept walking. She went to the counter to check out. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and she walked to the door getting ready to leave. She looked back at him. He said, you know. Yeah. So it's just, that parrot, shit, boy, that parrot, I know it was hard for that parrot not to call that woman ugly again. He didn't want to get in trouble, but he just said, you know. Now, so some of you know, see, some of you, your brother Brooks preaching at me, or he preaching about somebody in here. Well, that's because you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If it's you, it's you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? To get to heaven, you got to let the word of God work on you. You got to let it work on you. You got to let it work. You know, that's what it's designed to do, is to prick your heart. It has to work on your mind. Now, when you get to the point to where the word of God is not piercing, not affecting you, it's not hitting, coming down your street, so to say, your conscience is getting seared. And that's a dangerous place to be. When your conscience don't work, you're going to lose your soul. Now, some people don't have no problem with tearing the church up or causing problems and divisions or whatever. They have no problem with keeping stuff going on because the conscience is not bothering them. Anybody here got a serious conscience? See, here's the thing. Remember this. The whole purpose of God sending his son is for us to get to heaven. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Guess what? All other ground
is sinking sand.
If we are seriously trying to get to heaven, you know who we have to look at first? Yourself. You got to get yourself into heaven. Brother Brooks, as a minister, I have to look at myself first. Boy, am I a problem for the church? Am I causing problem? Am I doing the right thing? Why? At the end of the day, I'm not up here for the fun of it. You understand that? I don't preach for the fun of it. I'm trying to get to heaven. And I'm trying to take as many people I can with me. But I can't stand for you, and you can't stand for me. So we better all look in the mirror for ourselves.
Amen.
I don't have to come to you and tell you you're wrong. You already know you're wrong. Some people know they're wrong. They're going to keep doing wrong. It don't matter what you say because they don't have no conscience.
There you go.
Amen. And so that's where we are. If your conscience is working, then the word of God, what Paul is saying here, you've heard before the word of what? The truth. The word of the truth is the mirror that the word of God is the mirror that we look in to identify error, identifies righteousness. Now, why? We're trying to get to heaven. Listen to the Bible said in Revelation 21. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
And for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there were no more seas.
Watch what happens.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Right. Read.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his
now
people.
Now, this is when we get to heaven right here.
And God himself shall
now,
be with
them. Think
about
how good this is going to be.
And be with
let's our, just go through
and be
this.
Their God.
That God shall wipe away what?
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And
number
their
one. God going to be with them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God the Father going to be with his children. Mm-hmm. And he going to do something while he with them. He going, number one, he going to stop any reason to cry.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Now, how many of you cried before?
Amen.
How many of you cried recently?
Amen.
You know, our hope is to get to heaven where God will never give us a reason to ever cry again. I look forward to that day, don't you? He said, all tear from my eye, there shall be what? No more what? Death. You realize that he's saying in heaven there were no funerals. No more losing a loved one. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
We thank God for that, don't we? Yeah. Don't we thank God that we don't have to go to no more funerals? There's coming a day, there'll be no death. Neither what?
Sorrow.
Don't have to be sorrow. Sorrow. Feel with sorrow over something that saddens you. And then no crying. Mm. Isn't that good? No crying, no reason to cry at all. He mentioned that twice. No tears, no crying, neither shall there be any more what?
Pain.
No doctors, no hospital, no needles, amen, no IVs, no more blood pressure medicine, no more diabetes, no more sticks on the finger, right? No more what? Pain, no more cancer, no more. He said, "Nay, former things are what?
Passed away.
All the stuff that we dealt with in this life will be gone." And then he said, they that sit up on the throne said,
"Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, write unto these you. Words
these are
truth and faithful.
We give thanks to God the Father for the hope of getting us to this place called heaven. Man, isn't that good? Huh? How beautiful heaven must be. There's a song that we read of a place called heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you read, it made for who?
For the pure and free.
For the pure and free. That's what he said. This place is beautiful. How beautiful. I mean, when I first became a Christian, I heard that song, Brother Bob Adams. Y'all know, but many of you may know Brother Bob from Fifth Ward, one of my new convert teachers, but he played that song for me, and he talked to me as he played it. He loved to sing. But it captured my heart. Have heaven captured your heart yet? Huh? How many of you, heaven's captured your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Where you really want to go bad. You want to go bad. How many of y'all ready to die right now and go and see what's like? Mm-hmm. Say amen real loud.
Amen.
Ain't about two or three people ready to get out of here. We love to get to heaven, but we ain't no rush, huh? That what you're trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's get another verse in here before we stop. Which is common to you, verse 6, unto you as it is in all the world.
And bring it
talking about
fruit.
The gospel. The truth has come to this church as it come to all. Remember Jesus said in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world and preach what?
The gospel
to what? Every creature. Right here, I want you to know that I hope you have been following the nationwide gospel call. We are known nationwide, the congregation, because of that call. Thousands of people listen. We're going to be starting the gospel meeting up in January. It will be 4 days a week, 9:30. Make sure you reach out and share it with others. Everywhere I've been traveling, all across the nation, Holland Heights is known for that call because we were the one who done it during the time when everybody was shut up in the house. And many people are loyal to that call. Many people who've never missed a call. They've never missed a call. You all know how many congregations involved, over 200 some congregations been involved in this program. And we are reaching thousands of people, thousands of thousands with the call. And so in January, we're going to carry that gospel out through the call again, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. Let's make sure we share. What's the purpose of the gospel? Is the what?
Save
souls. So the command is to go into the world. We go on our feet, we go in the car, we go on the phone, we go any way we can to preach the gospel. And bring it fruit, he say, has done it also unto you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in what?
Truth.
In truth. So what is it Paul saying? We give God the Father thanks for the gospel and the truth. Brothers and sisters, we got the truth in the churches of Christ. We don't have to beg anyone or apologize for anything. The Bible is right. And as long as we do what the Bible says, everything going to be all right. Ain't that right? And the gospel is the primary focus of this congregation, any church of Christ, is to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We are to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the world. That's the Great Commission, as we call it. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, go teach all nations, all nationalities, regardless of color. We see no color. Souls matter. All souls matter. Mm-hmm. The world is filled with lost souls all across this world. People need to know what to do to save their precious souls. Don't you know that? That's the mission of the church. And God gave us that truth. And we should be thankful to God that we're able to share the truth of his son, Jesus the Christ. For this cause, he says, since the day we heard of it, verse 8. Or nine, we yet?
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it,
uh-huh.
do not cease to pray for you and mm-hmm. to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Now, here should be our prayer as a congregation, you all, as we thank God the Father. Our prayer should be that each of us have a desire to be filled with what? Knowledge of God and all wisdom. See, the wisdom that comes from above is pure. It really is. It's not devilish or anything like that. But you got to have the proper knowledge to get to heaven. But if you don't have a desire for knowledge, guess what? You won't get the knowledge unless you have a desire. How many of you have a desire for knowledge?
Amen.
Is that why you're here this morning? That you have a desire to know more about what God wants for your life?
Amen.
And then he says, notice what he says. That you may feel with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and what else? Spiritual understanding. You know, wisdom is principle, right? But in all that getting, get what?
Understanding.
That's important. If you don't understand what's going on, then you got to have an understanding. You got to have an understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it. How many of you understand why you're here? You got to understand, or you'll be distracted by other things. If your understanding is, I'm here because I'm trying to get to heaven, then you don't lose focus on that and don't let other things distract you. Have that understanding clear in your own mind. We give thanks to God the Father for members who have a desire to learn. I mean, that means there'll be a Bible classes. There'll be a worship service. There'll be on the afternoon call. Amen. It'll be on Wednesday nights. That's people who have a desire. If you're only tapping into this knowledge on Sunday morning, then you got to check your desire. If you have a desire to grow spiritually, then you got to tap in on any opportunity you have to hear the word of God. Now, our lights, of course, we got, you know, Monday morning, 7 to 7:30 conference call, 12 noon on Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Thursday night at 9 o'clock, Friday at 12 o'clock. So, and then Sunday morning and afternoon services, you got plenty of opportunity. If you have a desire to know the will of God, to have the knowledge of God's will, to have a spiritual understanding, that's where you get it for. Your eyes are open to the understanding of the scripture. You must be taught. What the Bible says, study to show thyself what?
Approved
unto who? God, the workman that need not be what?
Ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of God. Now, to study, you need to be a student. Right. To be a student, you need a teacher.
Right.
Amen. That's where the mistake most people make when it comes to the Bible. They try to teach themselves. Well, I read my Bible at home. Well, you didn't read the math book at home. You went to class.
Right.
Amen. You had a math teacher.
Right.
Amen. And so that's when it comes to the Bible. You got to have a Bible teacher in order to learn. You can't learn what you don't know. You got to be taught properly. Let's go to another verse before I close. That you may walk
worthy of the Lord
pleasing.
Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Giving
now,
thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why knowledge and why spiritual understanding? Here it is. Number one, that we may walk worthy of who? The Lord.
Lord.
Number two, that we may be pleasing to the Lord. Number three, that we may be fruitful in every good work in the Lord. Number four, that we may increase in our knowledge of God. Highlight, we can't accomplish spiritual goals as a congregation without knowledge and spiritual understanding. Do we thank God this morning?
Amen.
Do you thank God this morning? We should thank God the Father that we have all this information of value to us for our soul salvation. We'll be strengthened when we know more and understand it. We learn patience. We learn to be long suffering. The Lord knows when it comes to the church, when it comes to working with people, when it comes to living a Christian life, it takes strength, don't it?
Yeah.
Yes. It takes patience, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes long suffering. And those are character traits of a Christian. We have to do that. And we give thanks to God for members who have a desire to have a knowledge. We pray for those who don't have that desire. Let's close 12, 13, and 14. Giving
thanks
unto
the
there
Father.
There it is. Back to the Father. Here it comes.
Which hath made us.
Now, he the one did all
part.
This. We're part of God's family. The Father made all this possible. He made us meet.
To be partakers,
to be partakers of the inheritance
of the
saints
in
the light.
Who hath delivered us,
delivered
from, the
us
power of darkness,
from the power of darkness
and has translated us,
he translated into
the kingdom
us into
of
the kingdom
his
of his
son,
dear son,
and in whom we have redemption through his blood,
because
even
his
the
son,
forgiveness
we
of
have
sins.
Redemption through his blood and even what?
Forgiveness of sins.
Here's why we give thanks to our Father in heaven. He was the one who gave his only son, our elder brother. God the Father allowed his only child to die for us. We should thank him for that, shouldn't we?
Amen.
We should give thanks to God who made it possible for us to be partakers in the inheritance. That means we can go home to be with the Father one day. And I think of Jesus as a close when he talked to his disciples. He said, let not your heart be what?
Trouble.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. in my Father's house are many mansions. And he told them, I'm going to prepare a place, but I'm coming back. He's coming back, y'all. And he's going to take us back to this place, and we will get our inheritance. How many of you want your inheritance? That's what he's saying here. Thank God the Father that he's given us and made us be partakers of inheritance with Jesus is Christ. That's right. Jesus is the Christ, and he's coming to take us to get our inheritance. One of these days, the Lord is coming back. God was responsible for delivering us from the power of darkness. You understand? What do you mean? When we got baptized, we were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom, which is the church of his Son. His Son's church. Whose Son? His dear Son. His only Son. If you're here today, do you believe that God the Father gave his Son for you? Do you believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood that'll wash your sins away? Do you understand this Father gave his Son and this Son suffered on the cross? How many of y'all know that? Amen. You know, remember he said, take up your cross. When he talked to his apostles, take up your cross and follow me. You know that what the apostles understood, disciples understood that we don't, is that when you take up, when they took a cross up, they knew they was going to die. See, do you take your cross with the understanding there's a sacrifice? To be a Christian, it requires taking the cross. It requires the sacrifice. They would have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice to get to heaven. We have to sacrifice our own personal desire. Do what's right. Amen. Don't be self-willed. But in part, understand to do God's will. Just like Jesus said, you know, when he was in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Do y'all believe Jesus died on the cross?
Yeah,
do you know he was beaten with a whip and wore a crown of thorns on his head before he got to the cross? Do you know they nailed him to the cross in his hands and his feet? Do you understand he hung on that cross for 6 hours? Who do we give credit to for this? God the Father. For God, that he so loved the world, John 3:16. Then he gave who? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did God send his Son? For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn it, but that the world through him, what?
Might be saved.
If you're here today and you believe that with all of your heart, number one, you must hear this gospel story I just taught you about Christ, God's love for you and his Son, suffering on the cross. Number two, you have to believe it with all of your heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that come to God must believe. Number three, you have to repent. You have to change your mind about the way you're living and say, I want to give my life to the Lord. That's what you ought to do today. That's what you should do right now, because tomorrow is not promised. You're not even promised to make it home safely. So, but be willing to make a confession if you come down. You have to confess you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, you confess it. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. Number five, you must be baptized. Why? It's commanded by Jesus the Christ. Mark 16:15-16. Baptism saves, according to Peter, 1 Peter 3:21. Somebody say, well, I don't see nothing in the water. I don't see a reason to be baptized. Well, then you don't see a reason to obey God, because baptism is obedience to God the Father. Amen. Amen. You give thanks to God for giving us the direction, what we must do. If you want to be saved today, we want you to come. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? We got baptism preparations here. We got close your knee. The water's ready. Angels on standby. The Bible said angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repent. Those who should come be those who have been baptized, not members of the church of Christ. You should come today and let the Lord add you to the one true church, and then give thanks to God the Father for giving his Son. Number two, those who are here who have fallen by the wayside, you've fallen short of the Lord, you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to confess your fault, write it on the card, ask for prayer. If you need to confess, you got to come down and do it yourself. But if you need prayer, you can write it on the card. You need to make confession, come down. If you need to be baptized, come as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments, spotless are they, white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the